Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is June 27th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotorVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years of archives, should you wish to do so. Cancel all your streaming subscriptions. Who needs Netflix? You've got hours. I mean, just hours of me talking. That's got to be better than Prime. But if you just want to throw in or go back and look at some of the old topics and then, make fun of me for the way I sounded 15, we've been doing 15 years of this call. Nearly 15 years, almost 15 years worth. Wow. Just a reminder that we will not be having the call for the next 2 weeks. So obviously July 4th is next week, and then the following week, as much as I'd love to, I'm going to do it from the seas, the inner passage of Alaska. I'm not going to. So I will... talk to you guys after today in 3 weeks. We will resume the calls, and we are going to be sending out reminders to that effect, but we are taking 2 weeks off for July here. So with that, I am going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the world, I was going to say across the country, but we're not the only country, you know. There are other countries around us, right, Doug? So Scott, yes, Scott, right, Scott? So anything, anybody, anything happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals in the industry? Maybe I should say it that way, be politically correct. Or anything we can help you with, any questions that you might have that we can help you with.
Kelly, yes. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
I did just recently read an article about PFAS, and I would take this with a grain of salt, but it said there's been a study done that indicates that PFAS may be able to penetrate the skin. And that they did this study using real skin, but there's some method by which they can grow something that's like skin, behaves like skin. And so that's what I say, take it with a grain of salt. And it wasn't talking about specifically, I couldn't see anything that talked about whether that was via, for example, water, like showering and so forth. I don't know whether it had to do with personal care products being applied to the skin. I don't know. But it also suggested that the shorter chain molecules, which is what the industry is in some cases has moved to try to make them less hazardous, may be more readily absorbed through the skin. So just, take everything I'm saying, not as etched in stone, but just as a preliminary view. Is it just one study?
That's interesting. Go ahead, Jen.
Oh, Paul, something you have to remember is only 10 to 20% of PFAS is in the water, and the rest is through textiles, your anything waterproof, makeup, feminine hygiene products. Yes, they're finding that it can be absorbed through the skin, through those types of things. I haven't seen any studies that say anything about being absorbed through the skin through water, but you think about it, you get in a hot shower, your pores open up. They are finding that those shorter chains are getting absorbed through the skin.
Oh, so fun.
They did a study on pets that were in homes with carpeting and homes that did not have carpeting. And just because of the Scotch Guard on the carpeting and such, they found that PFAS was very heavy in the pets because they're the ones laying on the grounds and everything. So, you know, on the floor, you know, you have to consider when you have little ones, you're putting them on the floor to learn how to crawl and such. So just, you know, not that I'm trying to scare the bejeebies out of anybody. But
no, and it's especially then when you eat your pets, you're absorbing it, you're digesting it too. So,
Kelly,
yeah.
Yeah, Kelly.
Oh, sorry.
Doing the sign.
This is being recorded. I forgot. I don't eat my pets. Well, that would just be wrong. Anyway, you guys, those of you that just tuned in that have never been on the call before, they're like, what did he just say? Yeah, this is Kelly Thompson. I'm the owner and CEO of MotiVitality, this really professional organization that does training throughout the industry. Just ignore me. So, all right. Anyway, thank you, Paul and Jen, actually, for the feedback. Anybody want to add anything to that? Not after the... What did he just say about eating the pets thing? Nobody wants to comment on it. I totally get it. Anyway, anybody else have anything else? Thank you very much, you guys. So let's jump into our topic then. And what did come to, what brought this to mind was, you know, in this industry, so a lot of us here are, I think probably any industry, right? A lot of us are in sales, we're in management, ownership. You know, I'm always amazed when I hear from you guys, which, by the way, I love doing. Those of you that are here live as well as those of you listening to this recording, I really do appreciate the feedback and the thoughts and the comments. I want to take a moment, actually, to say just how much I appreciate that you all take the time to come on to this call. It means a ton to me that you guys are finding value in the discussion. The idea of the intent, of course, was to create a forum where we could all in the industry get together and just have this conversation without having to worry about product or company or competitors or anything like that. I really do like to talk about things that impact all of us in the industry, and it just means a ton to me that you guys put this on your calendars every week and that you find value in it. It really does mean something to me, so thank you. But all of us here, you know, especially with our time being valuable, you know, we're wearing a ton of hats a lot of times. We're crazy busy. I don't know about, you know, some of you, but this, I haven't had a 9-to-5 job as long as I can remember. I mean, there's always so much, you know, and there comes a point just for the health, just for your mental and even physical health, I think, that we do have to force ourselves to step back and refill our bucket. Now, for me, I mean, even when I was in sales, you know, 27 years ago when I started in sales, it's like, you know, we had a vacation policy at the company that I worked with. And it was nice and all, but I never, even in sales, it's rare to ever actually take vacation because even if you're not working the 60 hours a week or 70 hours a week that you would normally work during the time, you know, if you go a week, you take a week completely off and disconnect, especially if you've created a lot of your own business and you have your own network and people are used to being able to reach you and get, you know, in touch with you, that week can cost you the momentum and it can really cost you a lot. So it's really hard to go somewhere and just completely disconnect. So many times in this industry, at least in my experience, it's rare to find that time where you can just, you know, where you're not answering the phone. I mean, I've even told a couple people, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of the call that I'm going to Alaska. It's going to be really hard for me not to, when we go into port, check my emails, you know, just to return things, make sure things aren't missed. And I don't know how healthy that is. Now, for me, and I don't know about you guys, for me, the fortunate thing for me is that I love what I do. I love my job. I love the people that I work with. It's exciting to me to be involved. You know, it's like in Hamilton, right? I'm in the room where it happens. You know, the conversation we just started with, the PFAS conversation, we're in an industry that is front and center on how to address part of that problem. As Jen pointed out, you know, 10 to 20% of the PFAS issue is in the water, but that's still a huge percent. And we are front and center in an industry that addresses that. And that excitement of being part of that industry does replenish my bucket a little bit. You know, it is kind of nice. But what I wanted to talk about today is how do we step back and completely refill our bucket? Is your work what refills your bucket? It is for me some, but I got to tell you, after, you know, multiple days and weeks and months in a row of 7 days a week, 60 hours a week, or so, you know, it is 60 hours a week or more, there are times that I feel like I just have to stop. I just have to completely disconnect. And the way I do that sometimes, you know, I have to force myself to do it. I go backpacking in the woods or, you know, in the mountains where I have no choice. There is no cell phone signal. You know, I go for 3 or 4 days where there's no signal, you know, and no ability whatsoever to respond to an email or a voicemail or a call. I have to force myself to do that. And yet I come back out of those things exhausted because of the physical, exertion, but also refreshed mentally because I was able to step away from the daily tasks. I come back able to look at my task fresher and with new perspective and that type of thing. So my question to you guys do you find it necessary to step back? When is the last time you went somewhere or did something where you literally turned off your phone or your computer and did not respond to a single, you didn't listen to news, where you didn't return a single email or text message or phone call? And is that necessary? What do you guys do to refill your bucket? And is it necessary to refill your bucket in this type of a job? So I just thought we'd have a discussion about it. What are your thoughts? Anybody?
Hi, it's Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
I think, in any job, you need to refill your bucket. I don't know if anybody recalls back when they were in school and if you're studying for a test and you study for a good long time and then all of a sudden you hit a wall, you're not productive anymore, you're not capable of giving it 100%, so you step away or take a break and maybe go back to it later or the next day. With a job, obviously, that's much more intensified, you know, you're at it 8, 10, 12 hours a day, day after day. And in order to come back to it and be fresh and be vital at doing it, I think you need to figure out what works for you so that you can step away, have that time, whether it's a day or a week, and then you're able to come back and perform better. That's just my take on it.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody else? So
I think it's
how
important
do we...
that...
Go ahead, Jen. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think it's important if you do take time off as silly as it sounds, a lot of people, if they have, let's say they have, you know, 10 days off, you're counting, you know, you get out of work on Friday, you're done working on Friday, and then you come home Sunday night. I think it's really important to come home a day early so that you can decompress. Yeah. Because when you are on vacation and such, you get home, if you get home Sunday night, then you're still worried Monday morning about unpacking and doing laundry and, you know, and so on, and going to the grocery store. So coming home a day early, that's going to let you decompress from vacation. Everyone says you need a vacation after vacation. And then yeah. Monday, you can start up fresh.
I think that's really true. In fact, this trip that we just planned, we did exactly that. We're coming back on Friday so that we can start Monday fresh. You're 100% correct that sometimes it can be more stressful, especially when you know that you've lost some of that momentum, you know. And so this is, I think this is what I wanted to explore on this call today, you guys, is how many of you, so just with a, I'm kind of curious, how many of you are, it feel like you are in a position where you could take 5 days and not have contact with your company, your emails. Paul Sinfransky, I'm curious. Traverse City, you're on the line. Paul from Traverse City, you're on the line. I don't know why I have such a hard time. But, I mean, you're an owner. You're a business owner or manager, business manager. And could you take 5 days and not have contact with your company? Or would that be more stressful for you than beneficial?
So I believe it is going to be stressful, and I am doing that. I am leaving on the 4th of July and not coming back until a week from the following Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Does it bring concern to me? It does, but I believe I've got all of the people in place that can handle any situation.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of our company is extremely stressed about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to reassure him that we have people in place. I am not the end all to end all. We have 54 people here, and they're all very qualified to get this stuff done.
Yeah.
In the past, I have stated, if you absolutely need me, 911 me in a text message, and I'll get with you.
Yeah.
I don't plan on saying that this time, because I do believe that I have people in place, and I am going to take this time and fill my bucket again.
It's a good test, isn't it?
Scary. It is scary, but, you know, if nobody's coding, if nobody's on the table, this is water. We can handle this. There's nothing that is going to happen that cannot be handled without me. You know, they can handle this without me being here.
I think that
I have the proper team in place.
For a lot of us, where you're at right now, Paul, I think is really hard. So who on the call is in sales? Anybody in sales here? Straight commission or commission plus? Anybody doing? Who's on the call? Who's in regular sales?
Doug from Canada.
Thank you, Doug. So Doug, have you been in a situation where you've had to take a week off, or you felt like you wanted to take a week off? Have you ever successfully been able to do that without feeling like it impacted your, you know, your livelihood?
Yes and no. How's that for an easy answer? Yes, and it's a great idea to do that, because it forces you to have deadlines. And having a deadline motivates you to get things done and motivates your clients to take action, which is what sales is all about. Is it stressful? Absolutely. Is it necessary? Probably. Does it work? Rarely. But that's also life.
So how do we prepare our customers? You know, I mean, you know, what do we say to our customers or our clients to make that happen?
Well, what I did was I had my list of pending sales, and I went to send emails out to all of them and said, unfortunately, I'm gone July 2nd, and unlikely I'll be back before the 18th of July. If you want me to handle this personally, get hold of me quickly. If the office can take care of it, here's your number.
Yeah.
And it motivates them to hopefully make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, and I think it's interesting the way you said that, you know, unfortunately I'm going to be gone. I love that it's a reason to contact him, to get in touch with him. And I love that thought with that. But do you find, and I noticed the way you said that, unfortunately I'm going to be gone. I've kind of thought about how I'm going to put it on our website and, you know, when I'm gone out of here and, you know, what we're going to do for the office and stuff like that. And my tendency is to kind of say, I'm sorry, I'm going to be gone. When in reality, I make myself, and I'm sure you do too, Doug, and many of you do, we make ourselves so available for our customers. Man, it's almost a sad thing that we have to apologize for that, you know, and I wonder what it, and I'm not judging or criticizing at all, because my tendency is to kind of do the thing, same thing, you know, unfortunately we'll be gone. Is it unfortunate? I mean, we, for the vast majority of the time that I know I do what I do, I'm available 7 days a week, you know, my phone, I do put it on do not disturb just because I have to, you know, around 10 o'clock at night, but I answer calls, you know, or text or emails pretty much nonstop. So, you know, how do we get to a point, or is it appropriate to just say, you know, not necessarily this directly, but I deserve this. I'm taking this time and, you know, this is what it takes for me to be there for you guys the rest of the time. You know, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Should we just state it? I mean, the truth is, this is not unique to our business. People, you know, they need to, do we want them as a customer if they don't understand that we need to take time? Now, that there's another part of that. If you have a team, like I loved what you said in, you know, as you said you were doing that, you do have other people at the office. Same thing with you, Paul. You said that there are other people in the office who can answer those questions. But what if, you know, what if you are the one person that has those answers, or that does that? I mean, you know, the challenge that I have with my business is that the three main people we have here are not going to be here. You know, me and my operations manager is going to be in Alaska with me on the cruise, and then our warehouse person is going off to get married in another country. So, you know, it's we're going to be closed, you know. So do I apologize to people for not being here, or do I just say, look, we deserve this. It is what it is.
You deserve it. In my opinion, you deserve it. And I think that how you have built your company is not going to fail for the amount of time that you are taking off. If you prepare your website properly, if you have your replies on your voicemail and on your email in regards to when you will be returning,
that's key. Communicating, right? Putting people at ease to say, we haven't gone away, we haven't closed our doors, we're not ignoring you, but this is time that we, you know, I kind of see that when people close for, you know, for the holidays, you know, around Christmas or, you know, through the holiday season, and they just proclaim it. You see big corporations that do that. We are closing. We're doing this for our people. We will not be open at this time. Go do your Black Friday stuff somewhere else. We care more about our employees having time with their families here than we do about the discounted TVs you're going to get to buy. You know, people proclaim that. They put it out there, right? And that's kind of where I feel sometimes, but it's against my character because I don't ever want to sound arrogant, you know, or that way. But you're right. If we've set our business up and we've done that, then we do have to kind of set the expectations of our customers.
If you, so, I had a thought in my head. Gosh. If you die on Saturday, hypothetically.
Thanks, Paul.
Or
makes
when you're
me
on
feel
vacation.
Really good.
Say you die when you're on vacation. Are you going to regret that you weren't in your office or that you were with your family having a great
yeah.
time?
Yeah, and it's a great question.
Oh, my God, I didn't get to talk to that customer.
Yeah.
And then I
yeah.
died. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I could have been, you know, I just spent my time in my office instead.
Yeah. So, I agree. That's a great question. And this is the point that I think I want to make on for everybody kind of as we summarize and come towards the end of this conversation is don't, you know, if you feel uncomfortable or guilty for taking the time off, and listen, this is something I have to remind myself of, as is often the case on these calls. Don't think that I'm perfect at this. I've had this internal conversation many, many, many times. With myself about this, but if I'm feeling guilty or struggling with taking that time, it is because it's necessary to continue to have the energy and the drive to try and, you know, the other times be the best at what I do, you know, to be the best resource for our clients and for our customers. It's necessary for me to continue to do it. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to continue to provide that kind of service. And so if I truly do care about my customers, truly care about what we're doing, then it not only becomes, you know, something nice and pleasurable, but it's something integral, something critical to do in order to make that, in order to maintain that level of service and quality and availability to them the rest of the time. So any other thoughts? So just to kind of summarize, I think you have to educate your people. You have to let them know, you know, not everybody's world revolves around you, but when they call and you happen to be gone, they've got to know how long you're going to be gone. And by the way, if you put on there, you know, don't forget to change your voicemail back or your email auto response back. To, you know, to say when you're going to be back so that it puts them at ease. Don't forget to let them know and you've got to have that game plan, the backup plan, so that your customers, when they call, they know where to go and how long it's going to wait. Both Doug and Paul, you both kind of said that you guys have already done that. That's huge to let them know where you're going to be. The world, if you have that customer that doesn't appreciate your need to take a break, I don't know if they're that valuable of a customer. You know, they may not be the person that because they're toxic. That means that they don't care about you nearly as much as you care about them. And I know that sounds harsh, but it is a reality. There is no job, even if it's one that we enjoy or like doing, that is worth destroying our mental or physical health over in the long term.
I'm here for a second. It's Doug.
Yeah.
A customer doesn't care. Customer their only concern is what's in it for me. A client
yeah.
would care. So the difference between taking time off with a customers are their only concern is, you know, the personal touch, being able to give them
yeah.
the best value, giving them meeting their needs. The client is a different concern completely because they're the repeat customer. They're the person that is going to promote your business. They're the person that makes your business long term. So for the long,
great point.
For the customer, it's a transaction. Either
yeah.
you're there or you're not there, and you tell them when you will be, and that's it. For the
that's
client,
a great point.
It's much more important.
And a client hopefully is going to understand because you've got that relationship with them. Hopefully the kind of clients you have are the ones that would understand. That's a really great point, that distinction. Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Final thoughts here.
My sales team is required to take vacations and we do pay them for vacations and they do not get their leads. They go to another salesman in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, because we do pay them that vacation pay,
yeah.
Somebody else can follow up on that for them while they're gone
yeah.
so that they can, you know, fill their bucket back up
again. Yeah. Yeah. it's because you recognize the importance of that for the mental health of your team. I think that's really true. So listen, you guys, thank you so much. I appreciate everybody hopping on here. I hope that you continue to find value in this. I will be off refilling my bucket for much of the next 2 weeks, and will hopefully come back to you guys in 3 weeks feeling refreshed and bucket filled. So everybody be safe. Have a fantastic 4th of July holiday. Be safe wherever you are, and we will talk to you in 3 weeks, if not before. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks, Kelly. Have a good time.
Just had four Blue Angels fly by my office window.
Wow.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Bye, everybody.